Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. This is the last in the series of the Christian's wardrobe, and then we will begin a mini-series on forgiveness, Lord willing. Not next Sunday, that's the 1st of February, isn't it? Okay, after communion. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just get a little bit of the background. And I'll begin reading at verse 24 because this is the whole thought. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would perform your work of edification, conviction, reproof, correction, and build us up in the faith. I pray that each of us might let the Word of God speak and not hear men or man's thoughts. Father, I would ask that if there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be that day of salvation. For we pray in thy name. Amen. We've been talking about this whole point of putting on Christ, because we're to put on the new self. And then the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through him, pens these words, and we might say, what does that Christianity look like? What is that wardrobe? To be very specific, you're supposed to lay aside falsehood, speak truth. Yes, there can be a righteous indignation, for instance, against sin, against things that are not just. Keep short accounts. In doing that, you won't give that the devil an opportunity to do a work when we don't keep those short accounts with one another. Labor as a believer. All your work should be for the glory of the Lord. Performing with his own hands what is good. Unwholesome words should not proceed from your mouth, but building up one another so that it will give grace to those who hear. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would weep and be in grief, because he longs for that day when our body will be redeemed. And then there's this laundry list. It's almost as if, I want to make sure I don't miss anything. I want to make sure I cover all the bases. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. You see, my dear friend, it is not enough to play the part of religion by going to church. It is not enough to play the part by holding a title of office within a church body or service as some leader at church, an usher, whatever it might be. No. Who is he writing to here in this book? To the unsaved? You might think in verse 31, yeah, you know those unsaved folks out there with all the anger. Yeah, got to get rid of that stuff. Partier, well, there sure are bitter people out there. He's writing to God's people. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And so we must be very careful about what we are inside. We're bought with a price. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" And being born again and being regenerate places within us an obligation to examine ourselves, to confess our sins. Oh, what a blessed confession when we do. Do not cower underneath the chair when you confess sins. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just, yes, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as we look this morning at the Word of God and the truth that we find there, I want to submit to you the thought of James when he said in James chapter 3, as we examine and in doing this laundry, well, we're going to examine the dirt that's there. That's what he's doing. He makes this list, and specifically, we're going to look a little bit about bitterness in large part. But James said it this way in James chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and what? Bitter water. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs, nor can salt produce fresh? No, we belong to Christ. We're His. He goes on to write, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and yes," the next word he says, "demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy." You see, this list is where the world might say, yep, those folks going to the church, bunch of hypocrites they are. This is a list where it ought not to be. It ought not to be part of our lives. And so I want us to consider Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, and especially in light of this note of bitterness. Back to our text, turning from James to Ephesians 4. Let only if you can be justified in your bitterness, then hold on to it. some of your, what does it say? Let what? I wish there was a footnote there. As a pastor, I wish you could come into my office and go, but Pastor Dave, do you realize what just happened to me? And then you explain the story. And then as a pastor, I'd go, wow, that's a pretty good one. Hold on to it. In fact, if you just want to wallow around in it a little while, God bless you. Trouble is, we've all been wronged. And I'm not trying to make light of those things that are so painful. The answer in coming around to dealing with it will be in the next series of messages. But I want us to look at this idea of bitterness in some biblical usage. Consider some biblical usage. This is just generic usage of the word. Bitterness. As a verb, it's used 7 times in the New Testament. Colossians says, husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against... See, thank you. The ladies are responding. Men... men... Don't resent. Don't hold that grudge. Be not bitter against them. That's not to say, ladies, you can be bitter. But don't be bitter. The verb has this idea of to make bitter, like you might make a water might taste bitter or become bitter, or your stomach might become bitter and be sour. Or you can have the adverb that's used in Scripture. Only 2 times it's used, and that was when Peter wept bitterly. The Bible says, and that's the deep regret, the emotion that Peter must have felt when he had denied the Lord. The adjective is only used a couple times, and in this case does not really shed a whole lot of light on the spiritual nature. And so when we come to this idea of bitterness, you only have the noun used 4 times in the New Testament. And this will then in turn shed some spiritual significance as we look at the text where it's used. So I want to call your attention to some of those texts. Well, before we do, as we might understand the term... Apart from bitter as in taste, Webster goes on to explain it can mean sorrow or pain. You remember Job when he said, I loathe my own life and I will give full vent to my complaint and I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I submit to you that there must be a distinguishing mark between those who are simply in pain or sorrow than to those who might be in bitterness as in resentment. Know that the Word of God says when Job had suffered all that he did, he had sinned not. So there is the time in which it just... Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you take the message and finish it and seal it in our heart by way of the Holy Spirit? For we pray it in thy name. Amen.